Blog Talk Radio.
On today's show, we have Michelle Aubin. Michelle Aubin has been involved in the alternative health and wellness field for over 25 years and is a certified life coach, master Reiki healer, and master clinical hypnotist. She worked in the public health and human services field for more than two decades, where she developed and implemented training programs for peer counselors and topics, including crisis management and active listening skills, public health education strategies, HIV prevention, and self-esteem development for job seekers. Her personal journey of healing from a diagnosis of crippling fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue syndrome, followed by depression and anxiety, sent her on a journey to find the answers to recover her health. After mainstream medical treatments failed, she began several years of experimentation, introspection, research, and exploration. As a result of this experimentation, she regained her health and shifted from surviving to thriving. Her purpose is now to share what she has learned so that those who are suffering with chronic pain and autoimmune illness can find relief from their symptoms in the shortest time possible. Instead of taking years to make the shift, she has developed a system where they can move from surviving to thriving in months, not years. And she works with individuals, corporations, and nonprofit groups to create customized wellness trainings while continually researching and incorporating the innovative modalities she discovers on her healing journey. On today's show, you will learn about her journey with fibromyalgia, also about radical self-love and strategies for living. Welcome to The Health Detective, Michelle. How are you today?
Hi, Nisi. I'm great, and I'm so thrilled to be here and share what I can with your listeners. So thank you for inviting me.
You're welcome, and I'm glad that you're here today. I know that we've been trying to get this set up for a while, and I'm so thankful that you were able to come on the air today.
Yes, it's wonderful. It's actually perfect timing because I have a lot of new things to share with people that I've been working on, so it's just perfect timing.
Awesome. Well, let's get started.
Okay, great.
So tell us about your journey. Let's start there.
Okay, well, hearing my bio, you know, I've always been interested in holistic health, and yet something happened about 10 or 11 years ago, and I got sick, and it surprised me because I thought I was doing everything right.
And when you were diagnosed with fibromyalgia?
Yeah. I mean, I was sick for a little bit longer than the this is what happens usually. We're you know, sick for a while, and then we get the diagnosis. It took me about two years to get the diagnosis, but officially got the diagnosis about 10 or 12 years ago, 10 or 11 years ago, and that's when I had to stop working. So, and I didn't realize how sick I was. You know, I kept working through it, but the fatigue is what stopped me, you know. So, I mean, that was so long ago. And I basically had to, let's see. What happened was, even though I was involved in holistic healing, when I became sick, I kind of gave up on that because I thought that what I was doing wasn't working. I didn't trust it. And so I went to the doctors. And, you know, many doctors over many years, as many people who have the same experience of that, and for the first time started taking pharmaceuticals, and those would cause side effects, and then I would have to take more, you know, pharmaceuticals to deal with the side effects of the first ones, and they all had devastating side effects for me, and I ended up in a downward spiral of side effects until about 3 years ago when I started to re-engage with the holistic strategies because the doctors were well-meaning, but what they were doing wasn't helping and was actually making things worse. So I had to go back to you know, other strategies.
Now, I'm curious, when you were going through this journey, did you have the experience where, you know, you go to the doctor and you know that there's something wrong with your body, because it sounds like you're very in tune with your body? And did you ever have the experience where, you know, you're telling them there's something wrong, you know, what's going on, and they made it appear as if, you know, oh, it's all in your head, you know, it's going to be fine, take these pills? And the reason why I'm asking is that a lot of patients that I've spoken with who have fibromyalgia, they've had periods of time, I mean, some, Michelle, many, many, many years before they were ever finally diagnosed. And that feeling of being hopeless, you know, that feeling of being as though no one can help you.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep. Yep.
That creates a lot of emotional pain.
Oh, it does. And it's very stressful to not be taken seriously. And even from the beginning, like when I started getting fatigued, I did what the conventional recommendation is to work out. Oh, if you exercise, you'll get your energy back. Well, that didn't work. It actually made me like feel like I had the flu. That's when I knew there was something really going on, when I was exercising for a week or so and I ended up in bed, bedridden. And I'm sure a lot of listeners have had that experience of, if you overexert, something happens inside. I don't even know what it, you know, I technically can't say what it is, but when you have fibromyalgia, you cannot push yourself too much. So that's when I knew, like, okay, the conventional isn't working. I went to the doctor. This was in Manhattan, where supposedly, you know, the medical care is so wonderful. And this woman doctor just dismissed me, and she was brushing me off until she took my temperature, and I had an elevated temperature. And then the look in her eyes changed. So it was, but that was 40 minutes into the consultation with her. So why did she not believe me until then, right? So that was from the very beginning. And I want to give doctors the benefit of the doubt, because I did feel like they cared about me. I just feel like they did not have the tools to understand what was going on, because if you can't pinpoint a virus and you can't, you know, read it in a blood test, they don't know what to do.
That's true. And then the other thing I found is that they have a really hard time with treating patients with fibro, because it requires a lot of work. And I don't mean that to sound negative, but what I'm basically saying is, it's not something where you go into the doctor and, you know, they can give you a quick pill and say, take two of these, you know, you should feel better. If you don't, follow back up with me and go from there. With this, it requires a lot of work, a lot of effort. And I just don't feel that some of the practices out there for doctors really have the time that they want to invest in patients dealing with this disease.
No, I think you're absolutely right. And I think that the whole system is set up for cookie cutter treatments. So somebody comes in with diabetes, let's, you know, we know how to get your blood sugar down. But when you come in with fibromyalgia, everyone's situation is unique. So,
yes.
So everybody's list of, there's overlap, but everybody's set of symptoms is unique, set of triggers is unique. And there is, like you said, there is no one pill.
No.
You know, aside from what the commercials out there have us believe, there isn't a pill that fixes it, because it's a multi-symptom condition, and all of the symptoms affect each other. So the sleep issues affect the pain, and the pain issues make us fatigued and cranky. So, like, it isn't like you can just wave a magic wand and you're going to be okay. We all have to figure out what is going as individuals for ourselves.
That's true, because as far as I'm concerned, we are our own best advocate. I mean, you can go to a doctor, they can tell you what the textbook states, they can tell you what they may have learned in medical school, but at the end of the day, you have to be in tune with your own body to know how you're feeling, what works well for you, because, you know, there's a lot of meds out there that they prescribe for fibro, and let's face it, all of them don't work because everyone's body is different, and in terms of how we respond, it's totally different. You know, they may have the chosen method. This is what I've learned, and I've observed in some of the offices is that, you know, you go in there and you tell them the pain, you're having a really bad flare. And first thing, they'll write you a script and say, okay, this drug here is supposed to really work well for fibromyalgia. All right, you take it, it doesn't work for you. You go back. I don't really understand that, why it's not working for you. Are you sure you're taking it as I prescribed?
Right.
Because, you know, this is supposed to work.
If it's not working, then there's something wrong with you. You're not doing it right.
Exactly. And then when you read all of the side effects and, you know, you question them. Like I remember one time saying to a doctor where, okay, you know, I have IBS, and from what I've read, this can affect that and make it worse. Or I've said, okay, this is really not working. You know, I don't think this dosage is right. Oh, no. This is what we state is the recommended dose. And I'm thinking, wow, here I am communicating and telling you how I feel, what's not working, and you're so busy telling me what's the recommended dose. Maybe you've observed this where you go into a doctor's office and it seems as though for that practice, they may have been instructed to try only certain drugs. And I know that that has a lot to do with the pharmaceutical influence. Not that I have anything against the pharmaceutical industry, but let's face it, in some of these practices, it's easier to push appeal. And I just feel that for many of them, fibromyalgia is not sexy. You know what I mean?
You know, that's so true. That's like a great bumper sticker. Fibromyalgia is not sexy. Oh my gosh. That's like a great poster. I mean, I think you're right. Like we're not convenient. We're not convenient
right.
patients. And I have a relative that's had diabetes for like 30 years. And it's convenient because they have, like, every 3 months they go in and they get their blood drawn and they get their medications modified, and it's, you know, half of it's over the phone. I think for the doctor that's great. It's like, oh, your blood tests are this or that. Come on in and we'll do your – like, with fibromyalgia, they can't do that with us. They can't say, you know – we don't fit into a cookie cutter. We're all unique. And, you know, your story is a good one of the dosage, because I don't know about you, but I find that, I mean, I don't know if this is a result of the fibromyalgia or if it's just part of the kind of profile of somebody that tends to get fibromyalgia. I am always sensitive more than other people to dosing. All my life, I've needed lower doses of things, and I've known that about myself, you know, just one of my quirks. And so when you go in and they go, well, the chart says you should take X amount, I know that that's too much for me. So, you know, if I had a doctor doing that, what they did to you, I would just say, I'm not going to take, like, you know, you, like, how combative do you want to be? Like, that used to come up for me a lot. It's like, how much do I want to fight in this office? And, you know, you don't have the energy to fight. You're not feeling well. You do your best advocating, but we all need to respect ourselves. And if we're being treated like kind of an assembly line, it just doesn't really work. It just doesn't work.
You're right. It doesn't. And along with the respect, not only do we need to respect ourselves, but to piggyback on that, we need to make certain that others respect us. Because as you were speaking, I remember the one doctor that I had been treating with for many, many years. And when I first started having, you know, a lot of pain, and I would go to him, shortly thereafter, I began to notice he seemed frustrated, you know,
when I
come into the office. And so one day I looked at him and I said, okay, I'm sure by now you're probably saying to yourself, oh, no, here comes Nisi again.
right.
And, you know, he just looked at me and I thought to myself, no worries, because after today's visit, you won't see me anymore because you're not getting it, and I'm just going to find someone else. And I tell you, when I switched doctors, the one that I'm treating with now, you know what was amazing for me is, you can imagine having bad experiences with doctors, And then you go to a practice, and the first thing the doctor does, okay, he comes in the room, he greets you by name, he not only shakes your hand, but then he sits down, and he asks you, okay, what's going on? And he shows so much empathy, and he puts you at ease.
Oh,
and,
wow. Yeah.
And, you know, I remember this particular doctor saying to me, hey, I understand what you're going through. You're dealing with a lot. Everything that you're describing, I get it. And I thought, wow, he should be the poster.
That's
on the
right.
Poster for fibromyalgia patients to say, hey, this is the gold standard for a doctor you need to see, because all are not like that. But
no.
When you mention about, you know, respect, it's a two-way street, because, yes, we have to not only respect ourselves and our bodies, but if you go to a doctor, as far as I'm concerned, if they don't respect you, don't tolerate it.
Yeah, that's a beautiful story. And, you know, I was moved to tears one time because I moved to a different state at one point. I had to find a new doctor. And I remember calling up the office and making the appointment, and the office worker on the phone said to me, oh, dear, you've been through a lot, haven't you? And I cried. I was like,
yeah.
Oh, my God, she gets it. Like, nobody really knows what it's like. And if the doctors are frustrated that we come in month after month, and things aren't working, imagine what it's like to wake up in our skin, right? Like, that's kind of what I wanted to say. Like, you're frustrated. You only see me once every 3 months. But, like, imagine what it's like. So I have to say, too, like, I would not have ever understood what it's like to live with this illness if I had not lived with it. There's no way to convey to anyone, you know, I would cut people a break a little bit in my mind, because I would never know what it's like. It's like every direction you turn, there's a symptom, and they don't make sense, and you can't, like, the functioning, when you say you have a flare-up, what does that really mean? People don't really know. They see you.
Right.
And they go, oh, you look great. They don't know that that's the one day of the week you left the house, you know, and they don't know that you might look great, but you feel like you're only at 10%. So I've tried to explain it to people that, it's like having jet lag all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I've had friends that say, oh, I get tired too. And I'm like, this isn't tired. It's like having jet lag and being exhausted when you're at your best, right? So, you know, your best day, you feel exhausted. So, you know, people don't really understand. And I know why they don't, because I would not understand.
I get you, and I definitely agree. And, you know, the other part of that is when you start having problems with your memory, you know, you get forgetful. I remember one time I was on my way home to visit family, and I'm from Northwest Indiana. Originally, and you know, this is a route that I've traveled for over 20 some years, so I definitely know how to get there, right? But
yes.
Coming back, I got lost.
Oh, yeah.
And I just could not focus on where I should go. And when I was telling the doctor about it, you know, he told me that's perfectly understandable, and that happens. And that really put me it made me feel better, because I was wondering, okay, am I developing dementia, Alzheimer's? I mean, what's going on? My goodness, you know, now it's my mind. Are you kidding me? And
yes.
But one thing I learned is fatigue. When you do not get enough rest, that will cause you to be forgetful. It will cause you to remember to do certain things, and that's normal.
There are so many symptoms that go with this that are scary, and pain is miserable, and exhaustion is miserable. But I have to tell you, like, there were times the scariest was the brain fog. And
yeah.
I remember telling people that I felt like I lost IQ points. I felt like I would joke about it and say, I feel like a butter knife. Like, I feel like all of my edge is gone. And what that led to, I look back at this, and it's really an interesting thing, because I always felt like a capable person who,
yes,
in life, who could achieve things and problem solve. And when I was, you know, at my worst, I was I had too much brain fog to even go online.
Yes.
I wasn't reading magazines. I couldn't do any research on how to fix it. You know, I was always a fix-it person in my life, right? So
yes.
I have all these books. I couldn't read them. I couldn't, you know, it was a very interesting thing. And now that I'm better, I'm online all the time, and I have an issue, and I research it. You know, somebody recommends something, a treatment, I could research it. So at that point, I wasn't able to rely on that. And what it forced me to do, there's a gift in there. And this is the lesson I've taken away from my illness, is there are hidden gifts. What it forced me to do was rely on my own body to teach me what it needed.
Yes. I agree. I like that because, you know, for people who don't have fibromyalgia, they don't get it. I mean, for them, it would be abnormal to have brain fog. But for people with fibro, that's par for the course.
Yes.
You know, it really is. And you're right. I've noticed for myself that going through this journey, just like you've gone through it, I've learned so much about myself that, to be honest, had I not gone through this, I don't think I would have learned some of those things.
So what is one of the things that you've learned?
Well, one of the things that I learned is about certain skills that I had that I didn't even know that I had. So, for example, when I was diagnosed, I was suffering with depression, and it was so hard for me to accept the diagnosis, and it was very painful. And what I learned is journaling helped me to put things down on paper. And then from there, that's one of the reasons why I started the Health Detective, because I realized, hey, you know, other people out there are going through the same things that I'm going through. But then I realized that the creativity inside of me was busting, you know, to come out. And before, you know, I would be doing my day-to-day stuff, you know, caught up in the moment, but I never stopped to embrace that creativity part of myself, because I had someone on the show the other day, and she was gave the analogy of the hamster on the wheel. You know, you're just so busy going through the motions. You're so busy going through the motions. You don't really have time to really focus on you, what you're about, you know, your interests and your life's passion. And that's the one thing that I learned about myself, that I am a creative person, and not only am I a creative person, I'm a person who loves to be able to express myself, and I feel that that's one of the gifts that I have, is to be able to work with other people and to uplift them and get them to understand that, you know what, it's going to be okay. Dig deep down inside of yourself and start thinking about those things, that who you are. You know what I mean?
Yes.
'Cause I just felt that for me, in order to be my true, authentic self, you have to tell your own story. You have to know who you are as a woman, or if it's a man with fibro, who you are. What are those skill sets and traits that you have? Because I'm going to tell you, journaling, had I not been diagnosed with this, I wouldn't have had time for that. I wouldn't have had an interest for that. But now it's been therapeutic for me.
See, that's really profound. And you know, what I'm about to say, if I had heard it, you know, 5 years ago, it would really get me angry, because mm-hmm. I felt like, why is this happening to me, right? That was my my main thought. Like, when you're bedridden day after day with pain, I would be like, why is this happening to me? And I got very angry at life. I got very angry at, you know, if there is a God, why would God do this? Or divine, mm-hmm. you know, why would the universe do this? A lot of things ran through my mind, and now I look back and I see that exactly what you said.
Yes.
I would have been continuing to just run around doing what I thought was me, bringing what I thought was me to life, to the world, but I you know, here's an example. I thought I loved myself.
Okay.
But I have to say, in the past 2 years even the past 6 months, I've really come to understand what that means. Radical, the phrase I'm using now is radical self-love. And that has come about as a result of the shift in how I interact with myself.
Yeah.
As a result of this, it's sort of like if you could look at illness as a teaching tool, it's really the best teaching tool because it got you to journal and learn these things about yourself. Like, you would not have done it.
Yes. And you know what? I'm going to share something with you that I haven't shared with anybody else that for me is very profound. And what that is, I'm a health coach. And a few years ago, I enrolled in a health coaching program. And in the health coaching program, the coach that we were assigned, you know, in our group coaching program, she had asked each one of us to pick a niche. You know, what do you want to focus on in your health coaching practice? And believe it or not, the first thing that popped out of my mouth when she said, okay, Niecy, what do you want to focus on? I said fibromyalgia. But keep in mind something. When I said fibromyalgia, I had not been diagnosed with fibromyalgia. Okay.
Mm.
I did not know much about fibromyalgia. I had heard of it. I heard of it because of some people that I used to work with who were diagnosed with it. And these were men, not women.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, well, why did you pick fibromyalgia? And I says, I don't know. You know, it just popped into my spirit. But then I said something, and I said to her, I says, well, I want to be authentic. I says, I don't want to be one of those individuals who tries to coach someone through something that they've never experienced, they've never gone through. Because in order to really transform someone's life, I think it's important that you be able to walk in their shoes or have empathy, you know, because there are certain things you can go through. You may not want to walk in that person's shoes, but you still need to have empathy, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So I put that out there, and I say I put that out there in the atmosphere, and God, I know, has a sense of humor and and was listening to what I had said about being authentic. I mean, whoever someone's higher power may be, you know, whoever that may be. But
yes.
For me, I know it's Jesus Christ. But what happened, Michelle, is this. So after I put that out there and said, okay, I want to be authentic, right? Shortly thereafter, that's when I started to not feel good. Now, keep in mind, though, through this process, I was working in a toxic work environment, okay, and under a lot of stress. So I didn't know what was happening to me. And then when I was diagnosed with fibromyalgia, I practically fell out of the chair.
Wow.
You've got to be kidding me. I said, how can this be? I mean, think about it. The same thing where I had said, I want to be authentic, and I pick fibromyalgia, but I did not have fibromyalgia. I want to put that out there. And then to come down with the same thing that I picked. So when you were speaking, what occurred to me was part of this journey was a life lesson for me. Because with this life lesson, as a woman, one thing that I learned about myself was, okay, Niecy, you have this. Now, what are you going to do about it? And I really feel for me, this was a setup for a comeback.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, I mean, nobody wakes up in the morning and say they want to have fibromyalgia. I mean, I definitely didn't do it. But one thing that I learned along the way was going through all this, it was really therapeutic. It really, you know, created a situation for me where I had to dig deep inside me to learn who I was. And when you mentioned about radical self-love, that's true. That's very important. That's part of it because I feel that in your heart, out of the issues, you know, I mean, out of your heart flows the issues of life. So whatever going on with you affects your heart, and that is going to touch all areas of your body. But that's just how I look at it.
This conversation is, there's so many profound
yes.
things that are coming up because what you're doing, what I've read, you know, since I've gotten rid of the brain fog and I'm able to read, you know, people online sharing their stories. The people that are able to take something tragic or difficult that happens and find meaning in it are the ones that have a less of a bumpy road. And I can tell you that, this has been a decade-long journey for me. The periods that were most difficult are when I felt like a victim. And I was like, why is this happening to me?
Yes.
You know, I don't deserve this. The periods where I was able to say, okay, wait a minute, let's look at the deeper process of what's going on, what's the purpose, and your idea of a comeback, you know, that's a powerful idea of, well, what's going to happen as a result of this that will be even bigger, better, deeper, more profound, and you're using it for service. You're helping people. That's, you can't get better than that.
Thank you. I mean, that's how I view it as well, because, you know, when you're helping other people, you take your mind off of you, what ails you, right?
Yes.
Because you can't focus on you while you're trying to help somebody else at the same time.
If nothing else, it distracts you
from
your own discomfort.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. Now, I want to also touch on this idea of radical self-love to, because I've been playing with this idea for a while, and I'm not sure of what it sounds like to people when I use that phrase, but I'm really enjoying this idea, and it comes down to all the choices we make,
mm-hmm.
the choices of how we think, the choices of how we, you know, what we choose to eat, and things like that. And I was thinking about, you know, talking to you today, and I was thinking of this incident that happened. You know, we all kind of do this. I don't own a scale, but I was at someone's house. They had a scale, and I got on the scale, and I had lost 5 pounds. And I was like, wow, that's great. And then immediately, I felt like, okay, you got to lose 5 more.
Right.
And I was in this practice of observing my thoughts, which is called mindfulness, and because of this practice I do of mindfulness, I was aware of this instantaneous thing that happened, and I was like, I'm standing on the scale going, oh my God, look what I just did to myself, right?
Right.
And then from that moment on, and that might have been a year or two ago, I said, I'm never going to weigh myself again, because I don't like what I do, and it's not loving to myself. You know, and maybe there will be a day where I could weigh myself and no matter what the number is, I love myself for it. Like, you know, that's, but I was like, wow, look at what I just did. And these little things we do to ourselves of judging, of, you know, and with fibromyalgia, I did it all the time with fatigue. I would say, why can't I have more energy? And I would beat myself up. Why aren't I more productive? Why, you know, and I would compare myself to my old life and,
mm-hmm.
you know, measure myself and feel like I didn't do enough that day. And then when I was aware of that, I realized how abusive I was being to myself.
Yes. I can relate to that, because with being on a lot of meds, it causes you sometimes to gain weight.
Yes.
And I was unhappy that I was gaining weight when I was trying to lose weight. And one day, you know, I said to myself, okay, it is what it is. All right. I may not like it, but it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
And radical self-love, I would really like to hear more of that from you, because, you know, a lot of people do not love themselves.
Well, and like I said, I thought I did, because I was this holistic person doing all these wonderful things, and it was the fibromyalgia taught me that I wasn't. Here's what it does. Here's how I interpret my symptoms now. If I get tired or if I get pain, it's a signal that I'm not loving myself.
Okay.
Either with my thoughts or with my food choices or with people I'm interacting with or how I'm choosing to interact. It keeps me in a very – it's very good at keeping me in making positive choices. So if you look at what I eat right now, and what I eat really doesn't matter, but like I've learned what my body wants to eat, and it's a very narrow array of choices of foods that my body feels good on. If you looked at what I ate 10 years ago, you know, it looked like I had a lot of freedom. I could eat this, I could eat that, and you know, when people, let's say, want to make changes to the way they eat, they often feel deprived or they feel like they're missing out on something. So the way I look at it is my fibromyalgia symptoms have taught me, if you go off of the appropriate range of food, we're going to either be in pain or we're going to have brain fog. We're going to tell you, we the body, right? We're going to tell you when you do something that isn't what we want. So it's a it's not hard for me now to people always say, don't you miss brownies? Don't you miss? And I'm like, no, because I want to feel good.
Yeah.
It's an easy choice. And that's radical self-love.
It is. And also, you are in tune with your body. So you know what feels good for you and what doesn't feel good for you.
And I got to say, you know, I got to say, like, I'm a slow learner, so it took me, half a decade to get here because I didn't want to make changes. So I don't want to give the impression that, like, you know, I waved a magic wand and I was able to make these changes and it happened in an instant. No, I struggled. And the symptoms taught me what to do. And they also taught me how to talk to myself. And that's where the radical self-love comes in. Like your story about, you know, the medications and you put on weight and you made the choice to align with loving yourself.
Yes.
And you are not your body size. You are much more than that. You're
That's true.
A profound, giving person with lots of, you know, there's so many beautiful elements to who you are. It isn't about what you weigh or what I weigh.
Thank you. That's beautiful.
It's
and, you
true.
Know, that's something that women need to embrace, because when you turn on the TV, you know, they tell you that beauty is this, you know, and if you don't look like the model on the runway, then, you know, it suggests that you're not beautiful. But you're right. Beauty encompasses so many different aspects of your being.
Yes. Yes. And how amazing and powerful would it be if we all could do what you did and make the choice to love ourselves?
Wow.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, that's like the revolution I want to start, is like the self-love revolution.
Hey, I join you on that.
That's
so crucial, isn't it?
and if you know, it gets really deep, because if all of our choices were made from self-love, it changes a lot of things. It really does. Like, you know, I used to be somebody that always wanted like a different outfit. I would go out and get a different outfit. I don't shop as much as I used to now that I love myself more, because it's, you know, that idea of I feel satisfied. You know, it isn't like I need to get a blouse to feel good.
Right.
You know, or like a skincare product or whatever it might be that makes people feel, I mean, we want those things. Those are great things. But I'm just saying, like, when you don't need something
True.
Outside of yourself to feel okay.
No, that's right. Because you're loving the skin that you're in.
Yes. And I used to hear that phrase, and you know, I thought I knew what it meant, but now I do. So I just—it's a different thing. Like you, I loved your thing about the scale, and we all deal with this, even if we don't have fibromyalgia. We all deal with judging ourselves, and but if we say, well, my alignment is with radical self-love, well, that means I'm not going to judge myself.
That's true, and you're not going to allow anyone else to judge yourself, and if they do. You know, no matter what they say, you don't have to accept that.
That's
you know,
right. That's right.
You know, I look at it this way. Don't put those monkeys on your back, you know, because give it back to them. I mean, don't even accept it. Know who you are. Accept who you are. I mean, you know, we're not perfect. you know, we have made mistakes along the way, but you learn from those experiences and you just keep at it. And, you know, keep working on yourself, loving yourself, and embracing who you are.
Yes. I mean, and I don't know if anyone else has gone through this. Maybe you have. When you are exhausted, you don't have time for that, right? Like, do you find that you get pickier about social situations and more choosy about who you, you know, spend time with? Has that happened? Because that happened for me.
Yes. You know, in the beginning, what I dealt with was when I was tired, and I knew that if I was to do something that I didn't want to do, I was going to pay the price for that later on, okay?
Yeah.
And, you know, so what I would do in the beginning was, even if I didn't want to do something, I was still doing anyway because I wanted to please other people, you know, and I didn't want to rain on anybody else's parade if they had an outing or something planned or a social event and they wanted me to attend. But I learned along the way that, you know what, if I'm tired, I'm tired. I don't have to make excuses for being tired. And I have to pick and choose those things, social settings, events, and people who I may want to spend time with at a particular time, you know, and just go from there.
That's, again, that's one of those things that I feel like fibromyalgia has taught me to do.
Yes.
Because I grew up as a people pleaser, and I didn't realize that it was like a thing. I wanted people to like me subconsciously. I wanted to be liked by everyone. Well, with this illness, it wasn't an option. So you only have a certain amount of energy. You have to pick very carefully who you're with, who you speak on the phone with. And now it's not an issue. I don't need anybody to be I don't care if you approve of me or not. Like,
right.
If the interaction was satisfying, that's what matters to me, right?
Right.
And I heard a phrase someone said once. It says, I want to get this right. I loved it because I didn't grow up thinking this, but when I heard it, it resonated. They said, it doesn't matter what you think of me. It matters what I think of you.
You know, I was just getting ready to say that. In another way that I've heard it was, it doesn't matter who you say I am or who I am. Only thing that matters is what I think about me.
Yes, it's another version of that. And, you know, as women, some women don't have that burden that you and I have had, but, like, a lot of women have the burden of wanting everybody to be happy. And it's a gift and it's a burden. It's like we want people to be happy, and we're trained to be pleasant, but you just don't have those. You don't have that extra when you have fibromyalgia. You have to be picky. So now I'm feeling better, and I'm like, yeah, I get to be picky. We all do.
Yes, and you know another thing for people with fibro sometimes is this: you wake up in the morning, you know how you feel,